Okay, the Gemara says, right? There's a lot of challenging Gemaras we had to get through. We're in the fourth line from the top. Tani Hari Meir Omer Adam Over Aver B'Seiser because Baruch Hu Machris Lel B'Galui. That the Rabbi Meir states that a person will commit a crime privately, and Hashem will make it that it's machriz, it's proclaimed, it's announced quite publicly. Shneamar, as it says, Avar Alav Ruach Kina. The word V'Avar, which means to pass, but over here the Gemara is going to point out that Avar also means to proclaim. Ve'in Aveira, the Lashon of Avar, El Lashon Hachraza, the word Avar, Aveira, refers to Hachraza, proclamation, announcement. Shneamar, V'Yitzav Moshe, V'Aviru Kol B'Machaneh. Moshe commanded, and the voice passed through the machane. So again, we're going to now have a number of drushas we're going to learn and discuss that although she did something that was privately, she did it very in private, the word v'avar alav ruach kina, which describes what happens to the man. The man has this ruach kina, avar alav. What does avar mean? Hach mechriz, he proclaims it, ends up becoming quite a public matter. Reish Lakish Amar, and again, Reish Lakish is now going to, in the same vein, discuss a little bit more about the idea of what takes place with the Sota process. Ein Adam Over Aveir Elim Kenichas Baruach Shtus. A person, not only by Sota, but a person never will do anything wrong unless a Ruach Shtus, a foolish wind, a foolish spirit, we'll call temporary insanity, overcomes him. Shneamar Ish Ish Ki Tiste Ishto. Tiste, like the word Sota, but it's written, and you could read it as tishteksiv. So ruach shtus, even though it's called a sota, it's a sin, not a shin. Tiste, it's written. It's sota tiste, but it's written away. You could read it tishte, and that was the idea of a shtus. Ruach shtus overcomes her, and really overcomes anybody, as they ever do any aver whatsoever. Again, a person who's in the Kadosh Baruch Hu, you'd have to be temporarily insane to ever do an avera. Why would you ever want to give up olam haba for olam hazeh? We're insane sometimes. We get angry sometimes. It's not a good excuse. I mean, in a court of law, that might not hold up. Temporary insanity? Okay, it's true. I guess it's true. The Gemara is giving us an out. It's giving us an out. That temporary insanity can be declaimed whenever we commit any sort of crime. Okay, I hear that. I hear that the Gemara would allow, the Torah allows for us to claim insanity. So she's asking.
You need to know the Gemara in
order. There's a story though that of a woman who heard this kind of thing, and he said, she said, okay, when I go to Shemaim, I'll tell him I'm deaf. I didn't hear anything. I didn't know. And what happened afterwards? A couple of weeks later, she went deaf. So the person who does this,
they become insane in the end. They actually become insane.
That's worth every Gemara.
It happens to be, I have a good friend of mine actually who is not, unfortunately, he's not yet from, we'll call him. He was, he's not yet back to being from again. And he said to me, okay, I will understand. It's tough, you know, things are tough in the world. I'll understand why I don't do things I do. I don't know what that means exactly, but that's the idea, I guess, that's he's pointing out of here as well. I don't know, I wouldn't try claiming temporary insanity. I wouldn't try it. Hopefully we should, it could happen occasionally, we make mistakes, but nothing more than that, hopefully. It shouldn't be a strategized game plan. Okay. Tana de Rabbi Yishmael. Mahemina Torah Eidecha Besota. This we've already kind of seen, not kind of, we've definitely seen this beforehand. We mentioned it yesterday. For a reason does the Torah accept the testimony of a single aid by Sota? And again, Rashi points out, we'll get to Rashi actually in 1 minute. Shereglaim Adavar. There's already a reason to assume that what's being said over is true. Shari kina la, v'nistera, v'yed echa me'ida shehitzmeah. He's already had kina, he's already had stira, and a single aid now coming along and saying, the next stage, which is a tumma, that's sufficient to go on. The Gemara says, I'm really Rav Papa, labai, 1 second. I don't think you need all those things to believe a single aid. You don't need kina and stira. V'kiksiva, as a matter of fact, when you have the whole discussion being written about kina and about stira and about tumah, the single aid aimba, aid echad works for tumah. Va'kiksiva kinoi baser stira b'tumah hu d'ksiva. The idea of kina. Now we know, of course, we'll get back to in a minute. But kina, the kina is written after stira and tumah, which means when the Torah says aid einba, it says it only after stira. That's what Rashi points out. Look at Rashi for a second. About 10 lines from the top of the page. Vaha is the first word in the line. It's bolded. Va kiksiv kinoi basar stira batumah. The is heman ba eid achad ksiv. That the idea of stira and tumah particularly means the is heman, we believe, emuna, we believe a single aid, where it says ksiv nistra vihi nitma vi aid aimba, our famous vi aid meaning two based on the binyanav, aimba, there aren't two, there's only one. The samach lane, right next or right after it, is vavar lav, rakina, alma below kinoi nami eid achad meheman batumah. When the Torah was describing the process, and it talks about the stira, and then our famous eid aimba that was written only after stira. Kina comes later on in the psukim. And therefore, it sounds like over here, we believe a single aid, even without the level of raglam adavar of kina. Again, you need stira still. But stira, and then the single eid aimba, and we believe already, it's what we said up till now, why do you believe a single aid? Raglam adavar. Where's our raglam adavar that we have? We already had, we thought, kina. Then we had stira. And then we have eight aimba by tumma. We have a single aid by tumma that works. But the psukim don't describe it that way. The psukim describes stira, then tumma, and only afterwards the kina. So it sounds like we don't need so much for glam adavar in order to even believe one aid. It's not because we have part one, part two, and finally part three, but even part two, part three was enough. That's the kasha the Gemara here is asking. It's not really. Good. So it's true. That's what Gemara is going to answer. But Tzvi's question is, the Havmina seems like a strange Havmina. The only thing I can think of in the Havmina is that it's true, it's built off of that. Kina, we know that. Sira and Tumah. But the fact that Torah doesn't write it that way means that you don't really need all three to get Raglam and Davar. Meaning we certainly, that's the process that happens to be the technical process. But don't tell me the reason is you need all three of them. If it was, explain to me then why in the world do we have the Kina third? Now, even though that's a good way of saying it, I think if what I'm saying is correct, the Gemara never really answered that question. If that what I'm saying is the right way to explain the Gemara, it kind of leaves that point and just doesn't address it. If you say it meant there's a real Havamina that we have, you know, that we actually have Kina later, then the Gemara will get to that point in time. So even though I like what I'm saying, I don't think it's true because the Gemara, the way the Gemara is going to answer it, is not going to help what I just said. It's not, it doesn't take away that Havamina, what I'm just saying. So right now we have the following issue. We thought until now that why does tumah with one aid work? Because kina, stira, followed by tumah, so we believe one aid. But when the Torah describes it, it describes stira, tumah of one aid, and afterwards kina. So how can we explain this? It says the Gemara, Amar Lei, v'avar, that's a quote. It says, v'avar alav ruach kina. And the word avar generally means, like already happened, v'kvar avar. Avar means it already happened. So what did it already mean before the discussion of the stira and the tumah? Now we can still ask a good question. Okay, so we accept that point. Why is it written afterwards? I'm a kabel that avar already happened a while beforehand. But why did it write it in the wrong order? That I don't have a good answer to, at least not yet. I'll look it up for you later on maybe. But clearly the Gemara over here is just suggesting that the avar means you can go back. It already had happened prior to the stira and the tumah.
Now no longer means that it went over him.
Well, it does. It goes over him because the word avar, you're saying the word avar, meant machriz. Lachriz it meant. That's your question? Right. So here we're using the word avar for another different drasha. So the truth is it's not the same person, meaning the first drasha we have avar meaning to lachriz, that was Rabbi Meir. Right, that was Rabbi Meir. And this over here is a different drasha. So yeah, it's a different mind to Amar learning out the word Vavar, what it means. The first one was a drasha. It wasn't a lachik din. It was a drasha. Here you are trying to be so private. We're going to make it public. Vavar is a public thing. It's an important idea to realize. But it's not a lachik drasha. So I think we can use this pasuk Vavar now more as a halachic discussion. That kina has to come before stira in order for you to believe the next stage, which would be tuma. Again, I'm still going to admit to you, I don't know why the Torah would move the order around. I don't know that yet, so we'll figure out later on. But the Torah seems to move it around. The order of putting the avar of the kina after the stira and the tumah, I'm not positive why it does that. But that's what the Gemara over here is suggesting. And the reason why we can be confident that avar means before kina and stira and tumah is because avar means it already happened well beforehand. Elamiat, based on this concept, that what? that Avar really means it happened a while back, not just now. I'll show you it's not true. V'Avar Lachem Kol Chalutz. That's a quote. That's the scribe Moshe Rabbeinu who's making a deal with God, Reuven God and half of Menashe. They must go before everyone else. But V'Avar, which right now means you already went. You went before him. Hachanami. I mean, are we going to say this also? That Avar there also meant that it should be... It should be already have already happened? Doesn't make sense. Can't be. If you look at the context, it doesn't stop Masha. It's Masha is going to happen. That's the Rashi here points out as well.
What are we trying to... What's our question? What are we trying to answer?
So our question, the current point we're up to right now, is we're trying to figure out... we made a suggestion. Why do you believe a single aid by the Sota? And the answer we gave was because you have...
Regalim
Adavar, which means...
Kina.
Sira. Right. Good. But when the Torah describes that you can use one aid for tumah, in this consecutive discussion, in the order, it says stira, one aid for tumah, afterwards kina. It's mashma that the tumah doesn't get its koach from following kina and stira. Even without the kina, it got its koach. So we said no. Even there, it already had happened. The kina happened earlier on. Why are you saying that? It came afterwards in the pasuk because the word vavar is how it describes the kina. And Avar means it already happened beforehand. So we say, if Avar means it happened beforehand, I'll show you Pasuk, it doesn't mean that at all. Avar here by the Bnei Reuven God half of Menashe doesn't mean that it happened already. It's going to happen. As Rashi over here points out, he's mitzaveh to them that they're going to cross later on. Not that it already had happened. So Gemara says, you're correct in the context. Hasam midichsim over there, because it states, v'lichbasha aretz of Hashem v'achar tashuvu. That first we're going to conquer the land and help everyone else get into the Eretz Yisrael. And afterwards, we are going to then go back and return to our homes. So clearly the order of the Pasuk there, Vavar, written by there, was not a passive, it's a future tense, because the Torah's context describes what's happening in the future. Mashmal dilahaba, that whole thing implies it's a future thing. And therefore, the word Vavar, with a, like we had before, the word aid, always going to mean two. Unless I tell you, it means only one. Vavar is going to mean long time ago. Let's see, the Pasuk tells you it doesn't mean that. So over here, the word Vavar has a context where we see discussion. It definitely means that it hasn't happened yet. But the word Vavar in a vacuum, without any, like leaving it ambiguous, leaving it like that, it wouldn't really mean that it happened a while ago. Elahacha, and all of that, but here by us, Isalka Daitach Kidichsivi, if you actually would think it, the order is how it was written. Now, if here's a little gears to change, I'll just fill the words in for you. Vinistra, vihi nitma. Those words are added in. Vinistra, it's in the Bach, in Aleph. Vinistra, vihi nitma. And then vavar, which refers to the kina. Basar, tuma, vistira, kinoi lamali. Why would it ever make sense to have in that order? First you have stira, then you have tuma, and then you warn her? Doesn't make any sense. It's completely, counterintuitive. So it must, not only, so there's two reasons why we're suggesting right now why Vavar already happened. One reason is the word Vavar. And Vavar without any other explanation will mean it happened a long time ago. And if you don't say that, what does the Pasuk mean? How could you possibly understand the Pasuk otherwise? It's going to mean it just happened, Vavar, Labilchina, after Sira and after Tzema?
The word Vavar, the Vav, I know the Torah has something called a Vav.
Vavayipuch. Right, that's usually
it's flipping it to a future.
So I think that idea of a puch, I think it works when the word avar is not it doesn't mean it just means to pass over. Maybe you're right.
It sounds like a past tense. When you add the vav, it could flip it and become a future.
But that would mean over here that it should be a future. But we want
to be saying that it was a futuristic
only by the Bnei Gad and Reuven, not by the Sota.
We want it to be
passed by the Sota. And I guess you could say though that based on the context of the lack of any words that are to flip it back, and the fact that it would be completely counterintuitive, there's no logic, there's no rhyme or reason why you would have kina after tumah and stira and tumah makes no sense at all. So those reasons we would assume that really happened long ago. Now again, we're left with the following question: why did it have it out of order? I mean, why did the Torah not have it in the right order? Right? Why didn't we have the kina first? And then the stira and tumah afterwards, and that I have no answer to. I don't know the answer to that question. But it is a good question we should be asking, and I'll try to look it up for you later on, like a find shot. But I didn't see anyone talk about it, but I'll look a little harder than I did already. Okay. Whole new piece right now. Get a new part of the Agata. Tana, it was taught. I'm right now about 19 lines, probably close to 21 lines from the top of the page. First word in the line is the word Lama. The word right now to is Tana Devei Rabbi Yishmael. How close am I? 21? Tana Rabbi Yishmael. Ein adam mekanel ishto elim ke nichza baruach. A person will only be mekanel ishto if he has some heavenly spirit kind of take over his body. It says again, he has the lashon of the pasuk. It says, well, we'll see later on, but the pasuk describes over here, a ruach kina. Some heavenly assistance is going on right now. Shnemar b'avar alav, ruach kina, v'kines ishto, he has some spirit overcoming him, some divine assistance, and that creates this level of kina. My ruach, what exactly are we referring to? What kind of assistance is this? Meaning, should we embrace this ruach? Is this a good ruach, or like a holy ruach, or is it a negative ruach? Rabbanan Amri Ruach Tumah. It's bad Ruach. You really shouldn't be embracing such a Ruach. It's better to dismiss it. Again, we had it earlier on, if you remember, the whole discussion about is Kina a good thing or a bad thing? Is it an Isser or is it allowed? We had that discussion before. If you hold a Hamikana, what does that Hamikana imply? What's that? But yeah, which means that you shouldn't do it. Or if Kina means something, it means you shouldn't do it. If Kina means Kas, you shouldn't do it. But if Kina meant warning, then you could do it. So here the Gemara is, the Rabban over here say, it means Ruach Tumah, you shouldn't do it. Rav Ashi Amar Ruach Tara. It's really a good spirit. Because Baruch Hu is helping you to get out of a situation that's a problematic situation. Umistabra, it's very logical. Kiman Damar Ruach Tara. It makes more sense to suggest in the Gemara that the Ruach Tara is the proper drasha. It was divine influence from a positive help in Shemayim. It was a Yetzer Tov in Shemayim. Why are we saying that? Why are we assuming? Again, we know there's a ruach coming on from heaven that's kind of going into your body and making you think certain thoughts. We're suggesting now it's a good ruach, not a bad ruach. Why? Because we learn a brisa, the kineas ishto, rishus. Kineas ishto is a pasuk. You have a jealousy of your wife. It's a rishus, according to Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Kiva Omer Chover. He says, no, it's actually an obligation to carry out the discussion of the sota. Now, that's the Braisa ending. The Gemara is now going to explain, right, that's where the Braisa ends. The Gemara is now going to explain why that Braisa suggests that the Ruach is Tahor and not Tumah. Because Amris Bishlama Ruach Tara. So Shapir, if you're going to tell me that it makes sense that the Ruach there is a Ruach Tara, that it's good. Meaning, it's good to say you're allowed to. It's good to say you even have to. Eli Amris Ruach Tumah. You say it's a bad ruach, then reshus v'chova le'iyule le'inish ruach tumah benafshei. You're allowed to or obligated to place upon himself a ruach tumah. It makes no sense at all. If ruach tumah is what's happening, how can anyone say you must? They shouldn't even say you're allowed to. If it happened like b'di'eved, then what you do about it? But that you must embrace it or you're allowed to, we should never allow you to embrace it. If you did already, we have to deal with it, but not that we should let you. Okay, the Gemara is now, this Gufa is a whole new piece also, yeah, yeah.
We learned somewhere that if the husband is out playing around, then his wife is going to play around.
Yeah.
Right? We have that already, or was Viter?
We had it already, but Viter. Right.
We did it, but Viter.
Correct.
So, if that's the case, right, that, welcome on. If the husband's going to play around, then the wife's going to play around. That implies a mashmois and the lechara if the husband is a good boy, the lechara his wife should not be a bad girl. So, if that's the case, right, the whole fact that he's got a ruach, the ruach may be taka ruach tuma because maybe he's deserving of ruach tuma because maybe he's been playing around too. Therefore, why is it a bad thing?
So I'll comment back. I do not believe we think there's a direct equation. It's a correlation, but it's not an equation. It's not if A, then B. Otherwise, it would never work, Sotza, right? It would never work, because in order for her to do it, she'd have to be guilty first, and if he's guilty, then it would never work.
Correlation.
Right, it's a correlation, but not...
Whenever Shani calls me, I say, is it correlated? Correlated?
Okay, cute. Like it. Okay, Gufa now, we're going to go back to the text we quoted. Gufa's always going to be a discussion. Well, I shouldn't say cute. Wasn't cute?
No, you can say whatever you want.
Okay, cute. Gufa means we're going back to a text we quoted earlier on, where we're now going to analyze Rabbi Shmuel versus Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to quote three different machloks in between the two of them about Rishus versus Chova. We quoted already by Argamar via Gufa. Back to the text we quoted. The Kines Ishto, a man is jealous of his wife, according to Rabbi Shmuel, that's a Rishus. What's Rabbi Shmuel? Rabbi Akiva says it's a Chova. That's one, that's A, case A. Case B, where we have the same machlokes, La Yitama, referring to a Kohen becoming Tameh to a dead person. Rishus, is a sister, Afka Sifter. Rishus, Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Akiva Omer Chova. Again, Rishus says you're allowed to. No, you have to. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you have to. And the Olobam Tavodu, referring to the allowance, or really not allowance, let's say, of us freeing an Evik Kanani. So Rishus, you're allowed to keep them forever. Rabbi Shmuel says, Rabbi Akiva says, no, you must. It's a Chova. Three separate discussions where we have the same players lying on the same side of the field. Rabbi Akiva says each time it's a Chova. Rabbi Shmuel says each time it's only a Rishus. We're starting to get a pattern over here. The Gemara wants to know what this pattern is. Does Rabbi Shmuel always say everything's a Rishus? Amalei Rav Papa Labaye. V'amrilan, some say Rav Sharsha L'Rava. Lame Rabbi Shmuel v'Rabbi Akiva v'cholta arkula hachi pligi? Are we going to suggest that Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva argue throughout all of the Torah, all 713 mitzvahs this way? Demar Amar Rishus. Umar Amar Chova. Here you are giving me a list of things. Rishus versus Chova. Rishus versus Chova. What's that?
Rashi says it's only the mitzvahs that say is the suggestion that Rabbi Shmuel would say it's Rishus.
Is it a mitzvah to become? Maybe it is. Lo Yitama is a mitzvah dafka to become Tameh? So Rashi says. Okay. Yeah, I hear you. Okay, good. So to your point out, Rashi does suggest this has to do with only the Aseh commandments, not the Lotaseh. Makes sense. And therefore, we're going to say that Rabbi Shmuel never holds of any, again, it's a suggestion, it's ridiculous. Right? When everyone says such a thing. So we have to understand better now, why are we seeing this pattern, you know, Rabbi Shmuel says Rishus, Rabbi Akiva says Chova, Rishus, Chova. Why is this happening? Is there a rhyme or reason behind it? So the Gemara says there is. Amalei, Hacha b'kray pligi. And we're going to go to each one, and we'll do one of them right now, we'll stop. But here, by our case of Sota, it's based upon a pasuk. They're arguing within the reading of the pasuk. The Kineas Ishto, that's the pasuk. Rishus, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Rikiva Omer Chob. Let's analyze. My time with Rabbi Shmuel, what's Rabbi Shmuel's reason why that pasuk tells you it's Rishus? Savar la ki haitana. Shmuel holds like the following Tana. Time we learn a brayser, Rabbi Lazar ben Yaakov Omer. Klape she'amra Torah. Klape says Rashi means connected, corresponding to. Yeah. Klape. Klape she'amra Torah be connected, meaning corresponding to the Torah's statement, where it says in quotes, Lo sis nasachicha bilvavecha. Do not hate thy brother in thy heart. Do not hate your brother. Yachol could go and zoo. We might think to say, you know what? Always just be understanding, be forgiving. Over here to create this quarrel would be a violation of this pasuk. Perhaps Yachol even could go and zoo in our case when a husband is concerned his wife might be having an affair. Maybe he shouldn't allow it to really fester and just like let everything go. Don't hate her in your heart. You would think that's therefore a chiyuv or an iser in creating kina and creating anger. Talmud Lomar, the Avar love ruach kina, the kines ishto. You're allowed to.
What's a hava mean there? Because if his wife is cheating, then she's also cheating.
Once you know, but you don't have to go through the process.
Here he doesn't know for sure.
He doesn't know. You don't. The only time she's usher is once kina and sira happens. If he's just jealous and he leaves it at that, there's no usher.
Let's say he sees with his own eyes.
So he shouldn't look. He shouldn't look. He should avoid getting to the state of like.
He walks in on his wife.
No, that's not the case though. The kid over here is he didn't walk in.
Let's say he walks in on his wife. She's ushered in from that moment on. No?
She would be ushered in from that moment on. Yeah. Correct.
Eternally ushered, right?
Eternally ushered.
Even if he's Magarish, is he allowed to do Mahzuk Rushas?
No, he's ushered her.
Right.
She's ushered to him.
Forget about Kenan's too.
What if he can't see? What if he's blind?
What's that?
What if he's blind?
If he's blind, yeah.
No, really.
However, if his wife, if he did, Elazar, if his wife admitted and he didn't see, he should not believe her.
That's based on Russia. That a person should assume.
Does he have to see it?
It's not remember him seeing it. If he knows about it.
Why does he know?
If he knows, however he would know, however a person would know. If he has the level of knowledge or whatever knowledge a person who's blind could I mean, people know things when they're blind. They hear something. You.
There was a Meisa with 9/11. Famous Meisa. You know the Meisa?
No. Oh, you mean a Meisa had to know that someone was in there? No? Something else?
His wife was calling him frantically. And he didn't answer. And finally, he reaches her. She reaches him. And she says, are you okay? You okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm okay. She says, well, why didn't you answer your phone for the last 2 minutes? He says, oh, I've been in the meeting. She says, what meeting? Where?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I'm in my office. In the meantime, the buildings were down already.
What do you mean?
He was in a hotel. He was in a hotel with some other woman.
What do you mean?
How'd you know? I ask how the story came out.
It has a call, like we said yesterday.
Okay, the Adam. The Adam gave the call.
By the way, it saved his life. What's the moral of this story? Saved his life. A bear saved the guy's life.
Can I edit this part? Can I edit this? Okay. Back to our still gonna finish it right now. Finish last line or two. Assume that. Anyways, it's a crazy story.
You don't believe it?
I'm with you. First of all, you don't think he knew at that point in time that would happen? Like, you don't think the whole world knew what happened at that point in time? Yeah, I'm sure he turned the TV on at some point in time. No, it's like that's a lot going on there. All right, forget it. Anyways, says you too from the watch of me. Says the Gemara one more time. What's the logic as to Rabbi Shmuel saying it's a rishus? Because you would think it's not even allowed to have ruach, you know? Why not? Because you can't hate your fellow man in your heart. That includes your wife. To start the process off, we mentioned last time, creates kinah, creates kas, creates anger and hatred to each other. Maybe you have to figure out a way to just not let it in. You got to let it go. One could think. And therefore, the Gemara says, no, this Bavar L'Ruach Kina is the permission. It's a Rishus. Now, Rabbi Kiva, what does he say? He agrees. There was a pasuk that sounded like it would be Usher. But he says, Kinui Achrinaksiv. The word Kina comes up twice, meaning there seems to be a double mentioning of Kina. You would think that you can't touch that with a 10-foot pole. You don't want to create any anger whatsoever, any animosity. But it says kinah one time, it says kinah a second time. You could have kinah the first time, telling you it's a rishus. And the second mentioning in the pasuk of kinah tells you not only is it a rishus, but you even have to do it if you see it. It's appropriate to do. A chiyuv. Let's see. Where do you have those words? So look over here. The Rashi over here quotes it. Look at Rashi. Kinui achrinaksiv. Rashi is about, I don't know, the first one line, well, the word ksiv, it's bolded on the first one line, right above, that's where the Rashi begins, the word ksiv. Kinah achrinaksiv. It says, "Va'avra alu avruach kina, v'kina es ishto, v'ilo nitma." Now again, that is the second reading of the word kina. First pasuk said, "V'hi nitma, v'avruach kina, v'kina es ishto, v'hi nitma." Then it's the same thing again, "V'ilo nitma." Chad l'rishus, says Rashi. One of those v'kina is saying you're allowed to. The word by the pasuk that says, "Osis nasachicha b'vavecha," you're allowed to. The second time it says kina. That you're supposed to, you must, you have to. It's a chova. Says the Gemara here, Rabbi Shmo, what do you say back to that? There's a second kina to kind of encourage, not only allow but encourage this to happen if it's taking place. I need the boy le michtav v'hi nitma v'hi lo nitma k'siv nami v'kines ishto. Since it needs to write that she may be tamei, and also he's right she may not be tamei. Rashi explains that you're allowed to go through the sota process through the suffix. She's tamei, or even she's not tamei. You're not sure, but you have a ruach kina. Either way, don't read the second reading of v'kines ishto to be telling you that you must do it. It's telling you whether you knew for sure or you weren't sure. Either way, even on a suffix, you're allowed to go through the process, and therefore, that's what the second v'kines is doing. It's not encouraging you to do it. It's telling you whether you knew, or even if you didn't know, that suffix allows you to call her out and go through the mesot process. So again, ID, let's just skip. Yeah, Rabbi Shmuel, ID the boy, the mikhtav, he nitma, the lonitma, sivnami, the kines ishto. Since he had to write both ways, first way, the second way, and then the second vikina was only fitting into the sentence structure. And we see this. Look at the Tanya of Rishmal. Tanya of Rishmal has this idea. I will write it down inside. Tanya of Rishmal, Koparsha Shenemra Vinishnes, any parsha that was stated and then repeated a second time. Lunishnes Elik Bishvil Davar Shnes Chadish Ba. It was only repeated a second time for whatever the new point was in that repetition. Some point about repetition was necessary. But don't read into what else is written by that second point.
What was the new point
there? Vihilo Nitma. Even if you're not sure. Even if you don't know for sure. You're not sure. You have Ruach Kinnah. So it writes over here. Again, look over here in Rashi, it says, Ksiv Nami Vikina Achrina. See that Rashi there? V'afal gav dimatzi l'mikhtav. It could have written Hachi as follows. Could have said it in a double lashon without the whole entire sentence repeating itself again. And that would learn from there that even for a suffix, you're allowed to. Even for a suffix, she's usher to him. Even if it's only a suffix, she's usher to him. Afilu hachi, orche dikra. The way of the pasuk is lachzor v'lishnos es hamur, to go repeat what was said above. Medavra acher hanuschadish b'filasum. There was some other reason that we had to say it, and therefore kfilasum to kefil, the repeating of it right now in other extra words to say the same thing again. It's for one thing and one thing only. But don't read extra things into that repetition of the statement. The reason why we repeated it was to tell you that even a suffix, you're allowed to go through the process of accusations. Even if you only have a suffix, you're allowed to go through the process. And therefore, because we're telling you that didn't, even if you wasn't telling me, you're allowed to start the process off because you're not sure you're bothered about it. So we go on, we recite the entire verse, including the words, V'kineas ishto. But don't read that words deeper than that. That's why we repeated it. Because we repeated this, the second part, to tell you even for a suffix, you're allowed to accuse, and you're not really sure at all, but you're just worried about it, bothers you, you're allowed to start the process off. And it tells you the whole sentence again, including the words, V'kineas ishto. But don't read like Rabbi Akiva did, Rabbi Shmuel. Don't read as double V'kina means you're allowed to and you must. It means you're allowed to. And the second repetition of the word Vikina is because we were saying the sentence again for a different reason. Darshan is Chadish Ba, that you're allowed to do it even for a suffix, even if you're not really sure. And we repeat the same line again because that's how we do things. That's how stylistically. Stop over here. Let's do some Chazara and go Vaitre to Marvel Nedra.